Take your Bible, stay standing. Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. If you missed this morning's sermon, I challenge you, as soon as it gets online, listen to it. It will revolutionize your life. If you really listen to it, I did not have time to. I could have preached a whole sermon on each one of the points I gave this morning, literally. But I needed to give it to you in totality. But Esther chapter 2, I want you to listen to me, and then we'll read these first four verses together. I'll pray, we'll sit down, and then I really do believe I'm going to get you out just a titch early tonight. I don't plan on preaching long, but it'll be a very an encouraging type of sermon for you tonight. Ephesians. Have I said that more than once? Esther chapter 2. My head's going faster than my tongue can go. Esther chapter 2, we'll read the first four verses responsively. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king." And they let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, and to the custody of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. Help us as we study your word. Help us as we take a truth and look at it. May we listen carefully. May we listen spiritually, but also practically. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I really do want to help you. I want you to listen carefully to me, though. This is not a truth that is for... And I'm going to use a term I don't use a whole lot, but it's not just a truth to satisfy your mental gratification. This isn't just to say, oh, that's something neat. This is something that I'll preach tonight, and you're going to need it over and over and over and over in your life and in helping other people. This isn't just something that you gained a little truth, a little knowledge about and say, okay, I know something now. This is something that you should listen carefully to because you're going to need it. Ahasuerus was an evil, filthy, vile king. He was a drunken partier, and he was leading his kingdom into a giant party for weeks on end. His country covered 120 provinces from India to Ethiopia, which is from the north part of Africa all the way through India. That's the kingdom that he was ruling there. And in the middle of this party, or towards the end, everybody had been drunk for days and weeks and just a vile man. He called for his wife to come out, Vashti, because he was bragging about how beautiful she was. And once she came out, of course, everybody went hog crazy, wild and stupid, drunk. Then he commanded her to take her clothes off and dance in front of everybody. She refused. And he got so mad, and of course he could have killed her. He decided not to kill her, but he basically divorced her and sent her out of the kingdom. Now, thank God for a lady that had enough sense not to do that kind of mess. Now, he was embarrassed and sent her out of the kingdom, took the crown off of her head. By the way, what a vile, filthy human being that is. Kind of reminds me of a president we had back in the late 1990s. But anyway, after he sobered up, he realized he needed a queen. One of his servants said, "I've got an idea. Why don't we put a beauty pageant out? We'll set leaders in every province, and they'll find the most beautiful of the women in each province and bring them to one place. And after they've had time to go through all of the royal training, then you can pick from those girls which one you want to be your wife." He said, "I like the idea. Get me a pretty new bride. Here we go." it would appease to a filthy, vile man like that. By the way, these were young virgins. They were unmarried, untouched, pure young ladies. One of these young ladies who ended up in this contest was a young Jewish girl named Esther. Now, Esther's parents were gone. She was being raised by her uncle, Mordecai. Some call him Mordecai. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it. You wouldn't know if it's right or wrong anyway. But he entered his Jewish niece into this contest, and she ended up being chosen as one of these girls for the pageant. And he said, don't let them know you're a Jew, though. That could cause troubles. So she was hiding her identity a little bit. Now, here's a sweet, godly Christian girl in a beauty contest to marry a vile, filthy king. Not only had she entered, but Esther ended up winning the contest and becoming the queen. Now, God used her to save the Jewish people and Israel because of this. But I don't believe God wanted her put in that position. I don't think it was right for her to marry a filthy, vile, lost man. God would not break his commandment saying, this is what I want for you. Everybody doing okay? I know I just ruined the story of Esther for about three-fourths of you ladies. But in spite of it, God used her. In spite of it, God used her. God has chosen to use us sinful humans. None of us have done everything right in life. Not a one of us. I got saved when I was 4.5, 5 years old. I've been saved for good night. I have been saved for 45 years now. I grew up in church. I grew up in the nursery, grew up in primary church and beginner church and junior church and super church. And I grew up on the bus routes as a teenager. I grew up preaching, you name it. I did it all. I've scrubbed toilets, cleaned baptistries, stripped wax off of floors, waxed floors, swam in the bath. Did other things. I helped build buildings, tarred roofs, tear tar off roofs. I've done it all at church. Now, wait a minute. None of us have done everything right in God's will. But God is very good at turning out our wrong turns into right things. He's very good at, when we make a wrong turn, helping us being able to turn it a right direction. Remember, none of us has done everything right. But thank God we serve a God of another chance. I got to tell you a story. I heard a colored man preaching this, and I was down south, and I love it. He had heard a preacher preach one time, the God of a second chance. God gave Jacob a second chance. And that old black preacher and his black drawl, and I love. When I was in South Carolina, I preached in black churches. I had black youth department. Black folk, white folk, don't matter to me. I love them all. But there's just something about a black preacher. He can pull preach out of you. Them folks are just pull it out of you. And he said, bless God. He said, I believe in the God of a second chance. But thank God, my God's not just the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. Because I blew the second one. He kept preaching on the God of another chance. Can I tell you something? We serve the God of another chance. You know, you're not going to even sometimes make the second chance work. But God's got another chance for you. Tonight, I want to thank God that he's the God of another chance. God gave Esther another chance in spite of the bad situation she was in. Brother Mike, I can't imagine giving my 19-year-old daughter to somebody like Bill Clinton to marry. That's exactly what it would be like. I can't imagine giving my daughter, who's a pure, holy Christian girl, to some vile pervert like that to marry. and say that that was the right thing to do. But God used her in spite of it. Now, she had to spend the rest of her life married to that creep. It wasn't just one and done, here we go. She spent the rest of her life married to that guy. Hey, Christian, you've had a hard time. You've made some mistakes. Can I tell you something? There's a God of another chance. Well, I just felt like giving up. Okay, there's a God of another chance. See, we serve the God of another chance. Well, I blew it, preacher. Get back up. He's the God of another chance. God still wants to use you. God already knows that you're a sinner. And God knew that before he chose you. So God knew you were going to mess up. Why do you want to throw everything away because you made a mistake? Just because we make a mistake, God doesn't throw us on a dirt pile somewhere and say, rot. As long as you're still sucking air, God's got something for you to do. Say, well, preacher, I blew it. I did this. I did that. God still has something for you to do. God wants you to do something because you serve the God of another chance. I don't believe God wanted Esther to be married to this person, but God used her. Let me show you what I mean. God gave Esther another chance in spite of not obeying the commands not to marry a lost man. God used her. She violated every principle of the Word of God to do that, other than she obeyed Mordecai. God said we're not supposed to fellowship with darkness, that a lost person has nothing in common with a man of, or person of Belial, evil. Light and darkness don't dwell together. She had no business doing that, but God used her in spite of that. Can I tell you something? God gave Abraham another chance after his adultery with Hagar. In the birth of Ishmael, Sarah eventually had Isaac. Thank God, God's the God of another chance. Did you know that Lot went into Sodom? And that was Abraham's fault. He wasn't supposed to stop in his homeland and pick him up. He was supposed to go straight from the land of the Ur of the Chaldees into the promised land. But he didn't. He went home and picked up Lot. And he wasn't supposed to. Thank God, God's the God of another chance.
Yes, sir.
God gave Jacob another chance to become Israel after he tricked his brother out of a birthright. Did you know Israel was supposed to be named after Esau, not Jacob? Should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But because Jacob tricked Esau out of the birthright, it became Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Jacob was tricked and then ended up going back and meeting Esau and putting everything back together. Everybody doing okay? Thank God he's the God of another chance. God gave David another chance after he had been anointed king. He fought with the Philistine army. David had already been anointed king and joined up with the Philistines and fought with the army of Goliath for about a year and a half. Then, after he became king, committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, when he found out Bathsheba was pregnant. Thank God, God's the God of another chance.
Yes.
You see, just because you make a mistake doesn't mean everything in life's over. Just because you mess up in your Christian life doesn't mean it's over. Get back up. God's, man, I just about tore that whole thing right out of there. God's the God of another, I'm going to have to hit it up here, sorry. God gave Job another chance. I understand Job was a great man, but do you know at one point in time, if you read the story of Job, Job got depressed. And he said, just God, I curse the day that I'm born. Just let me die. Let this be done. Job wanted to give up. But God gave him another chance. Matter of fact, God gave him twice as much afterwards as he did before. See, we serve the God of another chance. God gave John the Baptist another chance. John the Baptist was biologically Jesus' cousin. He was about 6 months older than Jesus. He was the one preparing the way for the way of the Lord as a voice crying in the wilderness. Do you know that when they put him in jail and were about to cut his head off, John called for some of his disciples and said, go talk to that Jesus fellow one more time and make sure he's the Son of God before I lose my neck. He doubted it. That's when we got the statement, there's none greater born under of women than John the Baptist. Yes. John doubted it, facing death. Thank God we got the God of another chance. God gave Peter many chances.
Yes.
He stepped out of a boat and walked on the water when he was supposed to stay in the boat. He denied Jesus at the betrayal. Peter quit the ministry and went back to fishing and took most of the disciples back into the world secularly with him. But God used him 40 days later at Pentecost. Thank God he's the God of another chance.
Yes.
See, Peter wasn't all you thought he was. You look at all the mess ups in Peter's life. What's the only human being on earth Jesus looked at and said, get thee behind me, Satan. That was the man that preached Pentecost. I've been called a lot of things, but not the devil. Especially by God himself. I've been called a demon, but not a devil. You know, God gave the disciples another chance after they all forsook him at Gethsemane and Calvary. You know that all of the disciples forsook him? They went back into their secular work. They were afraid that they were going to die like Jesus. But yet God gave them another chance and they came back and turned the world upside down. God gave Daniel another chance. I don't have time to go into this. One day we will. But when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't bow before the 90-foot statue, I hate to tell you, Daniel was present. It says all of the king's leaders, and Daniel was one of those leaders. Apparently, Daniel, in a moment of weakness, bowed. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not. But Daniel got another chance, and he went through the lion's den much later in life. And he used the lions as a pillow at night. God gave the Apostle Paul another chance after he made a foolish Gentile vow. Made a very foolish vow, but God still used him. God gave Paul another chance when he and another preacher, a man named Barnabas, couldn't get along with one another. Imagine two Baptist preachers that couldn't get along. Huh. Imagine that happening. Say, what happened? They had a disagreement about Barnabas's nephew. Paul said, he's acting too much like a baby. I'm not taking him on the trip with me. And he said, well, Paul, if that's the way you're going to be, I'm going to take him. And he said, you take him, I'll take somebody else. And the strife was so sharp between them that they didn't communicate ever again. And it went from being Paul and Barnabas to where you never see them together again. You're talking about the great Apostle Paul. The man that God used to pen 14 books of the New Testament. Couldn't get along with another preacher. Thank God for being a God of another chance. God gave Elijah another chance. Elijah, the great preacher, stood up to Queen Jezebel and 850 false prophets, killed 850 prophets in one day, and then ran 72 miles to get away from the queen in fear. And then sat there in depression over the fact that the queen was mad at him. God just used him to cut up 850 false prophets. He outran a horse and chariot over 20 miles and then ran another 50 miles. And God took care of him at a brook while he was depressed. God gave him another chance. He didn't stay down long. He came back up and said, Queenie, old Ahab's going to die and the dogs are going to eat your guts. He got his courage back, but he was down. Thank God, God's the God of another chance.
Yes.
God gave Jonah another chance when he ran away from Nineveh. And he took the whale cab. 3 days in a cab in the belly of a whale. got burped up on the ground. And a 3-day journey became 1 day. You say, why? Because he's afraid that whale coming after him. I don't know about you, but if I spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, I'd be running somewhere too. Do you know that when he got done, he preached the greatest citywide revival in history? Bible talks about over 300,000 people being saved. Do you know that when he got done, he was mad at God that all those people got saved? Sat there crying in Juniper Jungle. God put a gourd up there to shade his head, and then God provided a worm to take the shade away. Ate that gourd, and him and God didn't get along for a little while. Thank God he's the God of another chance. You'd thought after being in the belly of a whale, he wouldn't complain about too much, but he was upset. You know, the Bible is filled with people like you and me. The Bible is filled with people who God had to give another chance to. Thank God he's the God of another chance. I can't tell you I've done everything in life right. My wife will tell you I've made a lot of good mistakes, trust me. I've never made a mistake necessarily of being out of God's will, but I've made mistakes while I've been in God's will. I've not always handled every situation right. I know that's hard to believe. But I haven't. I've had to apologize. I've had to fix things. I've had to get another chance. So let me give you just a few thoughts, and I'm done. Honestly, three things. Number one, none of us are perfect or always right. Can I tell you something? Let's be willing to forgive each other. Did you know that Brother Joe Haney's not always right? Just ask his wife. Did you know my wife's always right? Yeah. Can I tell you something? Nobody's going to be always right. Can I tell you something? Why is it that we get upset with people when they make mistakes? Can't we just decide we're going to give them another chance? It's always good that you tell somebody else to give somebody else a chance as long as it didn't affect you. But when it affects you, you don't want to give them another chance. If your kids acted that way, you'd spank them. But when you act that way, it's the way you're supposed to be acting. I told you, bring your steel-toed boots, amen? It always amazes me that, you know, even my enemies are not bad people. People that don't like me, you know what? They're not bad people. Somebody loves them and they love somebody. They're not all bad. Just because of how they treat me doesn't mean that they're all bad. Can I tell you something? I don't think my enemies are bad people. I think they're good people, just misguided. It's okay. Just because they don't treat me the way I would like to be treated doesn't mean they're a bad person. Now, when they're involved in evil, I don't want anything to do with them. But it still doesn't mean they're a bad person. Some of you, somebody sticks their persnickety little snoot in the air at the store at you, and you're ready to fight. At night, I walked into a store this week or so ago, saw somebody that doesn't like my internal organs. They looked at me, went, had a whole shopping cart full of stuff, left it right in the middle of the aisle, turned around, walked out of the store. Say, what did you do? Wasn't me. The lady standing next to me, she said, now that's funny. I decided to make a joke of it. She said, that person must not like something. I said, yeah, I don't know what it is. I wasn't going to volunteer any information, amen? Now, wait a minute. They didn't hurt me. They hurt themselves.
That's right.
I hurt for them. I'm not all upset. I wasn't going to chase them out in the parking lot. What's the matter with you? Good night. I got better things to do in life. I decided to have fun with it. Can I tell you something? Why is it that it's always how somebody treats us that's the issue? None of us are always right. Number two. Boy, that was a good thing. Aren't you glad that's a short point? Number two, let's never give up on God using anybody.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Don't ever let yourself believe God doesn't want to use you. God wants to use you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
As long as you're still breathing, God wants to use you. Did you hear that? As long as you're still breathing, God wants to use you. When we get new folks into our church, God wants to use them.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I know one that we got in church. Boy, that one's going to take a long time. It may take a long time, but God still wants to use them. Can I tell you something? You take some of these hard-nosed people, you get them turning, chopping against the devil as much as they're chopping for the devil, and look out, devil.
Yes, sir. Right.
Some of them tough ones are ones we need. Did you know I pray for my enemies to get themselves right with God and be used of God? If they'll fight as hard for God as they are against me, I'd rather them fighting for God instead of against me.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? I think people who hurt you need to be prayed for, that God could use them. If they're still alive, they have a chance. I sat in Brother Barnes was with me yesterday. He can verify this. Sat in a man's living room, family visiting our church, and I said, I'd love to have you come to our church regularly. But if God doesn't want you here, I'll help you find the right one. Because I want you happy serving God. He looked at me, I said, I know you don't hear preachers tell you that, but I will. I said, I want you in God's will. I want you to do that which is best for your family. I said, I want you. Not a matter of me not wanting you. I said, but if God doesn't want you there, I need you to find where God wants you, and I want you to get in and get busy. That's honestly how I do things. You say, well, preacher, that's not real conventional. I don't care what conventional is. I believe in doing what's right. You know, did you ever pray for somebody you hurt? Did you ever think that person that you think hurt you, you hurt them too? You know, I'm sorry goes both directions. We get this attitude. Well, they know better and they deserve what they're getting. Says who? That kind of attitude is very un-Christ-like. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't think that way, or you'd be going to hell? You know, can I tell you something? I have a little motto I live by. I don't give up on anybody. I don't care what shape they're in, I'm not giving up on anybody. I don't care how far into the dregs of sin they are, I'm not giving up on anybody. When your kids go wrong, this preacher's going to love them whether you do or not.
Praise the Lord.
When one of our young people does wrong, this preacher's going to love them whether you do or not.
Thank you.
Just so you know. And I've had one of my own children do that. Thank God he knew his mom and his dad loved him. We didn't condone anything. We didn't believe in what he was doing, but we loved him back, and God's got him chopping in the right direction.
That's right.
And I almost feel sorry for the devil. Texted me this afternoon. He said, Dad, we had 6 visitors, bunch saved, 1 baptized, some families joined the church, and a humdinger of a sermon. His father-in-law texted me and he said, man, we had a bunch of visitors and boy, an exciting day. And he said, boy, Josh let her fly. What a good sermon today. I'm thinking, yeah, 5 years ago, I didn't think that boy'd ever make it outside of hell hardly. I'm not kidding. He was driving his mom and dad into the nut house. But look what God did. Say, what was that? Don't give up on anybody.
That's right.
I don't give up on anybody. I don't care how they've treated me. I don't give up on them. If my worst enemy walked through that door right now, I'd walk over and grab their hand, shake their hand, hug their neck, and say, it's good to see you.
Yes,
sir. I'd have no trouble doing it and mean every word of it. You say, why? Because I'd like to see my enemy get turned right for God. How about you? So let's not give up on anybody. Number 3, I'm going to keep my promise. Realize the past is past, and God needs us now for what is now. Realize the past is past, and God needs us now for what is now. I would live in depression if all I did was to do again what I wanted to do 30 years ago. Can I tell you something? I don't want to do what I did 30 years ago. I was in Bible college 30 years ago. I have no desire to go back to Bible college. I enjoyed it while I went through it, I think. I don't remember much of it. I was asleep through some of it. I worked through all of it. But can I tell you something? I don't try to live for those days anymore. I don't try to live for the days that we had when we were in Southern California. God knows I was happy to get out of there. But we had some great day and great victories and some neat things. But you know what? I can't go back and live those things ever again. Why should I live my life now wanting to go back and do those things again? I don't do that. I enjoyed working for Brother Hiles. Did you know I can't go back and work for Brother Hiles? He's been dead for 16 years. I'm not going to go stand at the mausoleum and say, okay, what do you want me to do? I can't go back there and do those things. I must enjoy the now as much as I enjoyed the now back then. So many people cheat themselves out of life trying to go back and do what they once did. That's why when we as parents try to live a second childhood through our kids. Do you know at age 50, I am not going to keep up with my 21-year-old son? I got enough sense to know that boy's twice as strong as I am. Or more. He's a horse. That's why I'm taking him elk hunting with me. He can pack that thing out. I'm not. I'm not going to try to keep up with him. I'm not going to try to compete with him. I'm trying to get myself into a shape other than round. I'm working this pot off. Now, wait a minute. But the old man's going to be able to keep up a little bit. But can I tell you something? I'm not trying to live what I was 25 years ago. If I go out and throw a baseball, I'm not going to throw it like I did when I was 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. I saw my old baseball coach about a year ago, Neil Hartline. He said, Craig, you still throwing the ball as hard as you did? I said, nope. He said, why not? I said, because I'm too old. I said, if I threw it like that, I said, my shoulder's going to need surgery. I know that. My shoulder's not in shape for it. Good night, I got tendonitis and bursitis in the same elbow. That was not fun. When I go golfing with my boys, okay, they hit the ball farther than I do. I just use a different club. I'm past the point of trying to keep up. If Jeff's hitting a 9-iron, I might have to hit a 7-iron. I don't care. I'm going to get as far as he does. I don't care what the number on the club is, do you? I'm past trying to compete with him. I don't try to compete with him. Say why? Because I'm trying to live the now. Can I tell you something? God has a new day for each one of us. Yes. Quit trying to live the past over again. Well, it used to be. Quit trying to live in the used to be. Well, I remember back when I was really doing things for God. And I remember, okay, remember what you did. Do it again, but don't try to live back there. Live it now. Yes. So many of us want to go back to where we were, and you can't go back there and it be the same. Did you ever grow up in a house and then 30 years later go back and visit it? It isn't the same, is it? Yeah, buddy, it's amazing how big that house seemed when you was a kid. When you go back, you're thinking, how in the world do we live in that little thing? Let's take what we have and live for another chance, not a repeat performance. I'm not trying to repeat a performance. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I talked to a pastor in Montana this week. He and I were talking. He said, he's an older man. He said, preacher, you said you started church 4 years ago. He said, how old were you? I said, 46. He said, you're nuts. I said, what do you mean? He said, people in their late 40s don't start churches. I said, I did. He said, you're crazy. He said, you're like me. He said, I was 56 and adopted a teenage boy. He said, you and I are going to get along. We're nuts. I said, hey, you do what you got to do because God called us to do it. Man, we started talking. We had a great time. Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to relive the past. I'm trying to live now. I'm not trying to build First Baptist Church Hammond, Indiana in Martinsburg, West Virginia. We had more people in church than live in Martinsburg. Plain and simple. 18,000 people in Martinsburg, we average 22 to 25,000 people every Sunday in church. No lie, we had one spring program, five Sundays in a row, we had over 40,000 people on the church property. That's entire Berkeley County. Wow. We're not going to do that here. I'm not trying to reproduce that. I'm trying to do what God wants us to do here now. Everybody doing okay? I'm good with it, aren't you? Now, I believe God's going to use us to reach an awful lot of people. Amen. I believe God's going to help us grow and grow and grow and grow and do things that have never been done in this area. I believe that. But at the same time, I'm not trying to go back and do what was already done. I'm trying to copy that.
That's good.
That's all we've got to copy. So, none of those folks on the list ever tried to go back and do the wrong thing again. Did you ever notice that none of them went back and made the same mistake twice? They wouldn't want to go back and live that over again either. Can I tell you something? Thank God we serve the God of another chance. Not just a second chance, but another chance. You're going to need another chance. You're going to need to give a person another chance. And then another chance. And another chance. Matter of fact, somebody asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive somebody? 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. 490 times. Wait till you give somebody almost 500 chances before you give up on them.
Amen.
Thank God we serve the God of another chance. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We all need this sermon. Thank God we serve the God of another chance.